Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudevaya Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare. From Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 17 verse 29. Daro vacha
Daro vacha
Dama
Dama
Rasmai
Rasmai
Purushaya
Purushaya
Mayaya
Mayaya
Vinyasta
Vinyasta
Nana
Gunatmane
Nama Sarupa Anubhavena Nirduta Dravya Kriya Karaka Vibram Mormahi Darovacha Nama Parasmai Purushaya Mayaya Vinyasta Nana Tanave Gunatmane Tama Sarupanu Bhavena Nirthuta Dravya Kriya Karaka Vibramormahe.
Namaste.
पुरुषाय मायया
नमः परस्वय पुरुषाय मायया
विन्यस्तनानातनवे गुणात्मने
विन्यस्तनानातनवे नमात्मने
स्वरूपानुभावेन निर्दोषा
नमः स्वरूपाय
planet Earth spoke, my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of God, that you are transcendental in your position. By your material energy, you have expanded yourself in various forms or species of life with the interaction of the three modes of material nature. Unlike some other masters, you always remain in your transcendental position and are not affected by the material creation, which is subject to different material interactions. Consequently, you're not bewildered by material activities. Apart after King Prithu gave his royal command, the planet Earth in the shape of a cub, to understand that the king was a directly empowered incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the king knew everything, past, present, and future. Thus, there was no possibility of Earth cheating him. Earth was accused of hiding the seeds of all herbs and grains, and therefore she's preparing to explain how the seeds of these herbs and grains can be again exposed. The earth knew that the king was very angry with her. She realized that unless she pacified his anger, there was no possibility of placing a positive program before him. Therefore, in the beginning of her speech, she very humbly presented herself as part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's body. She submits that the various bodily forms manifest in the physical world are but different parts and parcels of the supreme gigantic body. It is said that the lower planetary systems are parts and parcels of the legs of the Lord, whereas the upper planetary systems are parts and parcels of the Lord's head. The Lord creates this material world by his external energy, but this external energy is, in one sense, not different from him. Yet, at the same time, the Lord is not directly manifested in the external energy, but is always situated in the spiritual energy, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshina Prakriti. Material nature is working under the direction of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is not unattached to the external energy. And he is addressed in this verse as guna atma, the source of the emotions and material nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, nirguna guna bhokta cha, although the Lord is not attached to the external energy, he is nonetheless the master of it. The philosophy of Lord Chaitanya upholding that the Lord is simultaneously one with and different from his creation is very easily understandable in this connection. Planet Earth explains that although the Earth is attached to the external energy, he is nirdukha. He is completely free from the activities of the external energy. The Lord is always situated in his internal energy. Therefore, in this verse it is stated, Sarup Anubhavena. The Lord remains completely in his internal potency and yet has full knowledge of the external energy as well as internal energy, just as his devotee remains always in a transcendental position, keeping himself in the service of the Lord without becoming attached to the material body. Sri Rupa Goswami says that the devotee who is always engaged in devotional service to the Lord is always liberated regardless of the material situation. If it is possible for a devotee to remain transcendental, it is certainly possible for the Supreme Personality of God to remain in his internal potency without being attached to the external potency. There should be no difficulty in understanding this situation. Just as a devotee is never bewildered by his material body, the Lord is never bewildered by the external energy of this material world. A devotee is not hampered by the material body, although he is situated in a physical body that runs according to so many material conditions, just as there are five kinds of air functioning within the body and so many organs, the hands, legs, tongue, genitals, rectum, all working differently. Spirits, all the living energy who is full of knowledge and his position is always engaged in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and is not concerned with the bodily functions. Although the Lord is connected with the material world, he is always situated in the spiritual energy, he is always unattached to the functions of the material world. As far as the material body is concerned, there are six waves of symptomatic material conditions: hunger, thirst, lamentation, bewilderment, old age, and death. The liberated soul is never concerned with these six physical interactions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being the all-powerful master of all energies, has a connection with the external energy, but he's always free from the interactions of the external energy in the material world. The planet Earth spoke, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are transcendental in your position, and by your material energy, you have expanded yourselves in various forms and species of life through the interaction of two modes of material nature. Unlike some of the masters, you always remain in your transcendental position, not affected by the material creation, which is subject to different material interactions. Consequently, you're not bewildered by material activities." So here, the Earth addresses Prithu as the Supreme Purusha, the Supreme Lord. And at the same time shows how he is in control of the material world. Earth, of course, is material, and all the bodies of the living entities in the material world are also material, and it's her responsibility to maintain those material bodies. And the Lord is completely different from that matter. At the same time, he has a relationship with it, and therefore, as Prithu, he's ordering the earth to give food to the living entities. So even though that's a material order, nevertheless, the Lord is somewhat involved with the material world, even though he is, in essence, spiritual. So there arises a little contradiction there, because if the Lord is spiritual, what interest would he have in the material world at all? So as such, he has no interest in matter. He has interest in the jivas in the material world, not the matter. But because the jiva is related to matter, therefore the Lord takes interest in matter. So the jiva's connection with matter is, of course, caused by ignorance. And it gives rise to many problems.
So the connection itself is not auspicious. It's not very beneficial for the jiva. At the same time, since that connection is there, the Lord tries to make arrangements for the jiva so that he can survive nicely. So this is done, of course, through the laws of material nature and the laws of karma. The Lord makes arrangements for the jivas in the material world as far as they are connected with the material world. At the same time, the Lord feels responsible to get the jiva separated from the material world. So for that reason, the Lord has scriptures, he makes rules, he appoints kings, etc. He gives methods such as karma yoga, jnana yoga, sangha yoga, bhakti yoga. And the Lord also personally appears in the material world in order to deliver the jivas from this bondage. So the Lord's interest in the material world is secondary. His primary interest in the material world is the jivas. And I think because the jivas are related to matter, then he must deal with matter and instruct the earth to give food to the living energies, etc. In that sense, the Lord has interest in the material world because of the jivas. Why has he got interest in the jivas? Because he is compassionate. That is the nature of the Lord. So we cannot criticize the Lord for having that interest in the jivas. In this sense, the Lord has connection with the material world. At the same time, though he is connected with the material world, he is not influenced by it. So this is an important distinction between the jivas in the material world and the Supreme Lord. The jivas are influenced by matter and overcome by matter. But the Lord is never overcome by matter. He is not covered by a material body, gross or subtle. He is not afflicted by the desires of the material world. All these things are something the jiva experiences, but not the Supreme Lord. So that is stated here. He is free from the interactions of the material world and the urmi, the waves of bewilderment caused by acting within the material realm. So the Lord is not affected by that at all. So he has interest in the material world so far as the jiva is there, but at the same time he is not negatively affected by it in any way. So that is expressed in terms of philosophy. The problem arises philosophically how to disconnect the Lord from the world, because matter and spirit should not be interacting. So we must admit there is a difference. The Lord is spiritual, matter is material. So we have that duality. So this is, of course, represented in scripture in many ways, in which Krishna says, I am the cause of matter, I'm separate from matter, etc. At the same time, if the Lord is separate from matter, why does he relate to it at all? As I said, of course, because he has compassion and the jivas are there, he relates to matter. Nevertheless, that interaction is, we can say, some sort of contamination of sorts, because the Lord must mix with the material world in some way or other. Therefore, this statement is made that the Lord is completely uninfluenced by it. He's completely separate from it. So the Lord appears within the material world, but simultaneously he's not in the material world. So that sounds very strange. How can that be? How can the Lord come into the material world and not be in the material world? That is exactly stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, where the Lord says, see, I'm in everything, but I'm not in everything. I contain everything, but I don't contain anything. So this looks contradictory. So there is contradiction as far as material thinking is concerned, but as far as the Supreme Lord is concerned, he has achintya shakti, or inconceivable powers by which nothing is impossible for the Lord. So he can come within the material world, simultaneously he can be outside the world. So this is caused by the achintya shakti, or inconceivable nature of the Supreme Lord and his powers. He has this particular ability to do things which seem contrary to our way of thinking. So nothing is impossible for the Supreme Lord. He can surpass all contradictions. So that is expressed in our philosophy, where we say achintya veda veda. The Lord is different and non-different from everything else. If there's non-difference, there is nothing else. If the Lord is everything, nothing else exists. So that's the Mayavada philosophy. Only Brahman exists as a real object. So that's Abheda. So of course the Vaishnavas don't accept that in one sense, and therefore we have all the different acharyas arguing against that oneness and say that actually is some difference, in the sense that jivas are real and matter is real. So in that sense there is difference. Nevertheless, that oneness is there in the scriptures. The Upanishads talk about the one Brahman, etc. So the Vaishnavas have to explain, how is there oneness? If the scriptures talk of oneness, if you say there's difference but yet there's oneness, how we have to explain that oneness? So therefore, that becomes a subject of different philosophies. So we can say the oneness is only metaphorical. Oneness in the sense that the Lord controls everything, and therefore it is one. So that's a simple solution, that's mudless solution to the problem. Oneness means the Lord controls everything, but he's different from everything. So there's no real oneness. Jiva is one thing, matter is one thing, Lord is something else, different constitutionally. And they're all real. And so that's a very logical explanation. But it requires that we interpret the scriptures. So this doesn't really mean oneness. It only means the Lord controls everything. And Ramanujacharya takes a slightly different tactic. He also admits the reality of the jivas and the material world and the Supreme Lord as different beings. But he says they're all one in the sense they're part of the body. He doesn't reject oneness in one sense. The body is one thing, and then it has hands and legs and atma, etc. in it. So therefore, the Lord is one, and then there are a variety within the oneness. It's called Vishishtadvaita. Just as we have object, and we have variety in the object, so the object is one. That's the Supreme Lord, and he has jivas and material energy as the qualities of the object. So this is his attempt to understand the oneness aspect of the Supreme Lord. It is also somewhat metaphorical, we can say. But he doesn't go to the extreme of madhva and say, actually, there isn't a oneness at all. It's only completely metaphorical. So oneness in the sense that everything is part of the Lord, like the qualities are part of the object. So that's his explanation. Now, of course, the objection to that is that ultimately that means the Lord is, if we take the qualities away, the object doesn't exist. So that means the Lord doesn't exist without material energy in the jivas. That sounds strange, because the Lord's independent. So therefore, this philosophy can get rejected because of that. It creates dependence of the Lord on matter and jivas. Sorry, that's not true. So then it's back to the position, okay, well, let's discard this and come back to the position, metaphorical oneness only, the actual difference. So there are various other philosophies to try to explain the oneness aspect. So Lord Chaitanya's is this Achintya-Bheda Bhed. Oneness is there, difference is there, simultaneously. Yes, we accept that matter and jivas are separate from God. There can be oneness, not through an example of matter and object, etc., but simply by the fact that the Lord has inconceivable power to be everything simultaneously. How it is so, we cannot explain. So one method of explaining is the Shakti and the possessor of the Shaktiman, are non-different. Like the rays of the sun and the sun are non-different in one sense, intimately related with each other. So therefore, in that sense, oneness exists. So, in this way, there are various attempts to explain the oneness of everything and simultaneous the reality of the material world. Anyway, the earth here is praying to the Supreme Lord and understanding, yes, he is different from matter, separate from matter, but he also connects with matter by doing certain things with the material world and becoming his avatar, etc. And at the same time, he is completely unaffected by it. So as long as we understand that fact, the other philosophical arguments, etc., are not too significant. The main fact is the Lord is different from matter. At the same time, he enters in the material world, but he's unaffected by it in any case. So we can do this by his Achintya Shakti, inconceivable powers. And simultaneously, even though he enters in the material world, he's not in the material because he still exists in the spiritual world. He can be in both places. So, actually, in relation to the Lord and his avatars, they're simultaneously not in both places, they're in many places. Because the Lord is in the material world when he performs his pastimes, he's simultaneously in the spiritual world, plus he has what is called uppercut lila that goes on in the material world also. So even in Vrindavan now, the Lord is there doing his pastimes, but we cannot see it. Plus he's in the spiritual world, plus he comes every day in Brahma and Vaivasvata-manavatara, in the 28th cycle. Plus, he also is going from universe to universe to universe to universe to universe and appearing in all the different universes. So, the Lord has so many forms. That's just as Krishna. Plus, he has other forms, as Narasimha and Rama and Kapila and Rishabhadeva and so many others, simultaneously. All these are all gone. And it's all one Lord. Well, he has inconceivable powers, and we cannot begin to understand how he is one, and at the same time, he has all these different forms. So this is the power of the Supreme Lord.
If you wonder, that is the quality of your When you say oneness, I mean the quality. You say,
We can say that, We can say oneness and quality, Of course, that's again an interpretation. We say oneness of quality. But because the Upanishads say everything is Brahman only. It doesn't say that there is, only the quality. It says oneness, only one Brahman. That's how the Mayavadis argue, at least. But of course, we can say one in quality. And just like we say the jivas, are nitya and conscious, but the Lord is the chief eternal and the chief consciousness. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetanam. So we can say like that. But the Mayavadis, they will argue on the basis of the other statements of oneness only. They'll take that as the main item. Whereas we will take the other statements and balance them.
Different incarnations, and the Lord goes to different universes. May not be the same like Rama or something. It could be a different name or the same
like. Well, apparently the same. We haven't got any other information, so apparently there would all be the same avatars.
Everything being there would be different than logic. Is it the same definition or is it a variation?
Well, there's always some variation in the pastimes, but it's generally the same forms are there.
Why does Ramacharya's philosophy, which means it has these, that how we take qualities away from the object and the object doesn't remain.
What?
That Lord actually includes in terms of his energy.
Well, if it can be both things, it doesn't really matter anymore. We don't have to use that example of dependence and non-dependence, whatever, like that. Since he is everything and not everything at the same time.
How is Madhvacharya philosophy different from Ramanujacharya?
In the sense that he doesn't accept that example of quality and effort because there's too much dependence of the Lord. So the objects are there, they're different, that's all. No oneness. Only metaphorical oneness. Everything's under the control of God. That's all. Otherwise, don't speak of oneness. That's it. But these are only ways of using material logic. That's all. To explain the Lord. That's all. So ultimately, material logic is useless anyway. Philosophy all useless ultimately. So the idea of the conclusions are the same ultimately. It's just how to explain it, that's all. They have different ways of explaining it, and explanations are based on material logic.
Because of this, we find a lot of groups existing. Your philosophy, my philosophy, this and that. It's our conclusion will be newcomers.
Well, most newcomers are not interested in philosophy anyway.
But if you think of people in India are called Indians, so when you say Indians, they're Brahmins.
What?
People in India, they're called Indians. So when they say that Indian means Brahmins.
Well, yeah, that again is metaphorical, isn't it? Because we know that there are individuals there. Okay? They're all Indians. It's a species, so to speak. And then there are members of the species, a group, and then members of a group. But we cannot say that about God and everything else, because God is different from everything else. Okay? He is not the same as the jiva or matter. He's different. That's what creates more difficulty, because he is completely different. And if we say it's all one, then jiva is God, then we get into problems. Or matter is God, we get into problems also.
The question is, the Bhagavad Gita, Lord is very clearly saying that he is a personal form. Why different Acharyas commenting on that?
Well, the Vaishnavas don't. They all agree with that. There's no problem with that. The only thing is to explain the relationship of matter and God, and jiva and God, that's all. Well, he says, I am in everything, I'm not in everything, in Bhagavad Gita very clearly. So that much is there. So it's just how we want to explain it. It's a matter of logic, that's all. And the system of logic changes over time anyway, how you argue. And the different attitudes and what we accept as conventions change. So therefore, the philosophies also will change because of that. Yeah, we can say it in terms of energy, etc., or we can say it as an absolute. Krishna is everything. He's inside it because he is there. And at the same time, he's not there because he is everything. He is everything in the sense that he is matter, he is jiva, he is everything. How he is, that we cannot understand because that is inconceivable. Because he is spiritual, but yet by his invisible potency as Supreme Lord, he can be everything.
Well, based on this, can we see in the future any new interpretation come apart from Aditya Vedanta? This is there when you want.
There will only be variations on what is presently around, I think. There can't be any, because all the extremes are taken up. Complete oneness, complete difference, and different possibilities in between are all there with, you know, Nimbarka and Lord Chaitanya and Ramanuja and Balabala, and there's all sorts of variations between them. So generally you won't find anything very new, it'll be a variation.
You find that within short span of 5 years, 1,000 years, all the forest comes. And that is just like a long span. It is for the sum of 1,000 years, 1,500 years. Different variations come and Mahaprabhu came and said, say they have to make.
Well, of course, before that we had the other darshans also, like Nyayaka and Vaisheshika and Karma Mimamsa, and so many other things were also there. So there are other philosophies also. Most of them are rejected as being not the proper conclusion, asat, because they don't accept the conclusion, whereas Vedanta philosophy is accepted. And then again, we have Shankaracharya interpreting that Vedanta in another way that's also not accepted.
Well, can you see that it is part of Lord's plan that, you know, Buddhism was there and he ran that out? So Shankaracharya spoke whatever he spoke, and then Brahmacharya came and he spoke so that people are not too much disturbed from what they were believing from Shankaracharya. And then it moved on to Madhurya. So is it, can you say it's part of Lord's plan that followed? Then it was based on ready for.
Well, yeah, and we can say, of course, it's also just historically an evolution from one thing of what people can accept at certain times. So therefore, based on that, they have preached in certain ways. Ultimately, no one can understand the Lord completely.
Asking to a person, you're saying that if you don't know anything, you're something that you say, Achintya.
No answer.
There should be some answer. Certain things
you
just tell
Achintya and just Well, the word, use of the word Achintya is in a specific context there. It's not that you can say everything is Achintya. It's only that the contradiction of oneness and difference, that's where the Achintya comes in.
ఆ